اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك. ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترت وكم من فاضح من البلاء أقلت وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي في قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد ما انطوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أدنيته أو تشرد من آويته أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك انتقامك وسخطك وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف بي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدة أم لطول البلاء ومدة؟ فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي، صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك؟ وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك؟ أم كيف أسكن في النار رجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين، ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين، يا غاية آمال العارفين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين، ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك، يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع، لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما، لكنك تقدست أسماؤك أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل أجر من أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته كتمته أو أعلنته أخفيته أو أظهرته وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم وبرحمتك أخفيته وبفضلك سترته وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلته أو إحسان فضلته أو بر نشرته أو رزق بسطته أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يا من بيده ناصيتي يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولة حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قوي على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في المبارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرده ومن كادني فكده واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، واعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقلني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي. فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك، وأمرتهم بدعائك، وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي، وبلغني مناي، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي، يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء، يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غنى، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء، يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقام، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام، يا عالما لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. صلوات. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. One of the verses of the Holy Quran that is good to remember every now and then is the verse in Surah Baqarah that we know as Ayatul Kursi. The verse of the throne. Al-Kursi is comes from the portion or the passage in the verse that says وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Kursi is the throne. His throne وَسِعَ, it's inclusive of, it's vast, inclusive of the heavens and the earth. The verse is mentioned to be a verse for us to repeatedly read. The Quran generally is a book that within it God advises us to repeatedly read. read the various chapters, the various verses. However, there are certain chapters and sometimes verses that have been singled out, and we are told to repeat them. In certain occasions, for instance, we're told sometimes in regarding to particular chapters, in certain locations, as part of certain deeds, we're told to repeat certain verses or chapters of the Qur'an. Ayatul Kursi is one of those verses that we have in various prayers, deeds of the various sorts, and also just generally to mention, and that's why the verse is so well known. As soon as you see, you say Ayatul Kursi, pretty much everybody knows what verse or sometimes verses you're thinking of. Although the verse Ayatul Kursi means one verse, it's the first verse of the three that are generally recited, and the one that is focused on is the first verse. This tells us that the meanings of this verse are ones that need to be remembered, and we need to be reminded of. The Qur'an is a dhikr. It reminds us of the truths that are in it. These are not words to read as some form of magic spell or something where the words just being pronounced have the effects. The reason why we're told to read them is because we are to remind ourselves of the meanings in it. And as much as we think these are simple concepts, for instance, the most central concept in Ayatul Kursi being the concept of Tawheed, the fact is we have not been able to internalize the concept of Tawheed and to make our minds and hearts function based on this principle. We don't think based on Tawheed. We don't act based on Tawheed. We don't feel based on Tawheed. We don't. This is just a very simple fact. We refuse to even accept Tawheed in the full sense of the word. We refuse to accept it. For example, as soon as any speaker, anyone suggests that in regards to sustenance, rizq, God is the only one that provides it, he generally has said that he will give sustenance to every single one of his creation. He has specifically mentioned that if you do what he says, he will give you sustenance from where you didn't expect. As soon as you say that, there's always a but you need to plan. You need to do this. You need to do that. So I need to do something. I am also responsible for it. As soon as that word or any thought similar to that comes, that simply means refusal to accept that God is the sole source of sustenance. We refuse to accept it. Any time where believers in hardships, in difficulties, want to go towards things that they have been forbidden of. For example, the believers that were struggling during the time of the Prophet wanted to go and beg the disbelievers. When they saw that they're in hardship, they're under attack by the disbelievers, they would want to tone down their language against the disbelievers in order to spare themselves, spare their lives. What is that thought process based in? It's based in polytheism, not Tawheed, not the oneness of God. If God is the only source of security, if God is the only source of everything, and his commands are what they are, and you need to go by them, refusing to go by them with the justification, the excuse that, but we can't do this, this will happen, this will shut down, that'll shut down. Anything other than what God has said, any explanation outside of what God has, if somebody says, well, in normal circumstances, that's what God says to do. In these conditions, God says for us to do something else. And here's the reference. Here's the verse. Here are the ahadith. We'll look at them, say, okay, if God said whatever he says, that's fine. But it's never that. It's just this assumption that, well, I need to protect myself. That's shirk. That's shirk. God protects. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. We're in a circle, a gathering, believers there. One brother mentioned that they have officially said, these think tanks, that for Iraq, the only way forward for the United States is to take out Atlas Sistani and Al-Hashd al-Sha'bi. And they were saying, well, you know, this is worrisome and so on and so forth. What's going to happen? وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. God is the one that has protected his religion despite all odds and whatever conditions there has been. Whoever he needed, he wanted to protect and protect his religion through, he has protected. He gave the Imam of our time over 1,000 years, over, I think now it's approaching 1,100 or 1,200 years. If he wants to preserve Islam through a person, he will preserve Islam through that person. If he wants to preserve Islam without that person, he will preserve Islam without that person. If he wants Ali ibn Abi Talib to go to the masjid and to be martyred in his house, then nothing in the world is going to protect the body of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Not that Ali ibn Abi Talib wants that, but unfortunately, that's how we think. Like, oh, you know, Ali was killed in the masjid. He wanted whatever God wants. If God wanted, nobody would have been able to kill him. Just like he participated in all those battles during the lifetime of the Prophet. Afterwards, nothing happened to him. In the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his life taken there. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He wanted the Prophet to live 63 years. That's how many years he lived. He wanted Ali ibn Abi Talib to live 63 years. That's how many. He wanted Fatimatu al-Zahra, Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, to live 18 years. And that's how long she lived. If God wants to protect Atlas Sistani and give him a longer life, which we ask him to do so, but we submit to whatever his will is, then no one on earth can hurt him. Just like there's been plenty of plots to remove Atlas Sistani from the picture, and Allah has protected him so far. If he wants anything to happen to any leader like Hajj Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, the commander of Hashd al-Sha'bi, the major and main commander, and the one who was really responsible in creating this entity we know today as Al-Hashd al-Sha'bi. If he wants Hajj Abu Mahdi to be there for so long and for him to be taken out directly by the Americans, that's what's going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written all over his book, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلَبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. God has written, I and my messengers, لَأَغْلَبَنَّ. I will most surely, most certainly, prevail, overcome, defeat anyone who stands in the way of the message and the messengers. No one on earth can stand in the way of Islam. No one on earth, no one in the heavens, no Iblis, none of his kind, no one. Islam is going to prevail. Why? Because God has willed it. He hasn't willed for people to live until the end of time, except for the Imam of our time, that we know he has been said. We have been told that he will live until his coming and after his, and until establishing his government, which is right before the end of time. And those last stages, whatever they are, for another discussion. Up to that point, he will be alive, for sure. Most definitely. Everyone else, we don't know how many years, but people go sooner or later, one way or another. It's either a virus, a cancer, a bacterial infection of some sort, war, earthquakes, natural disasters, different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes. The central point in Ayatul Kursi is Tawheed. We are told to repeat that, remind ourselves constantly, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Not that I don't worship anyone but God. God, Allah, la ilaha illahu. There is no God other than Him. There is no one being worshipped other than Him. Something that other verses, a number of chapters begin with, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens, in the earth, from the angels to the cosmos, to the planets, to the stars, to the black holes, to whatever is there that we're aware of and whatever is there that we're not aware of, materially and otherwise. Every grain of sand, every molecule that exists on earth or throughout the cosmos, every subatomic particle, the smallest building block that we may have or may not have been able to find out exactly what is the smallest building block of material existence. Every bit of it, in every way, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. All of them worship none other than God. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. He is al-hayy. He is the one who's alive. Life is He. Whether we are alive or we're dead, and whatever life means in regards to us, all of this is a limited version of life. He is the one who's really alive. And He is Al-Qayyum. He's the one that upholds everything. Nothing exists, nothing functions except through His will. What He wants is nothing other than that. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. That livelihood that He has is not like ours, that we doze off, we get drowsy, we're not too much in our senses. No. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Constant awareness, constant full capacity life. Not like our time in this world in terms of life. And our even definition of what life means for us is all limited. And those functions of life are limited. We need sleep. Our bodies are alive in a certain way, but the life that we have during our sleep, during our comas, is different than the life that we have when we are awake and aware, when we are conscious. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No dozing off, no drowsiness, and no sleep. Doesn't need any of that. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Again, that idea, لا إله, everything worships him, is mentioned in this way. Everything belongs to him. It's actually his. It has nothing but belonging, the idea of belonging to Allah. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Whatever you put your finger on, whatever you can think of, belongs to him. He owns everything. True ownership and position, such that everything does what he wills. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. And that's why it is then followed by this concept, من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. We generally understand the concept of shafa'ah, which we translate as intercession, as something relevant to the day of judgment and when we are to be held accountable for our deeds, for our actions, for our beliefs. And where we fall short, the concept of intercession comes in. However, as many mufassirin, especially contemporary ones that have spent more time, and this is obviously, of course, amongst ulama, Ahlul Bayt, they are the Quran. That's a different. But in terms of the works on tafsir that we identify as such, not the explanations given by the Ahlul Bayt. The explanations given by the Ahlul Bayt in the hadith is there. But in terms of what is collected as hadith of tafsir specifically, where a particular verse is mentioned, or rather I should say, the collections of such hadith with the commentary of ulama, when it comes to the understanding of our ulama, the contemporary ulama, especially those that have read and understood and have worked off of what Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh has presented, have clearly understood that the concept of shafa'a is not something related to the hereafter. This verse is not in the context of the day of judgment. This is talking about the reality of existence, that there's only one God and whatever he wills, and nothing but that. That's what this verse is saying. The concept of shafa'a in this context is something that is relevant to everything around us. We see the shufa'a. We see water quenching thirst. We see my work producing results in terms of cooking, in terms of engineering, in terms of medicine, in terms of whatever work it is that people generally do. We see the earth as the cause of earthquakes, volcanoes. We see certain patterns in weather where storms form, rain comes, how much rain will fall here or there. What we see is what's visible to our eyes. These are the shufa'a. God owns all of this. If anything, this is what man dhalladhi, who can intercede? If that drop of rain drops here and we don't have drought, how can that drop of rain, those clouds, the water evaporating from the oceans or from wherever, that formed that cloud, the winds that blew those clouds in the direction that they came here, the amount of pressure that was there, and whatever other material process there is in making a certain amount of rain to fall from the sky in a certain way where the earth can absorb it instead of it just flowing over the surface and going back to the sea. All of these are variables. Every single one of them belongs to Allah. If you see any of them being effective, that is shafa'a, and man dhaladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'idhnih. How can that wind make this water move? That's shafa'a. It's an intermediary that has an effect. It's something, and obviously it's not God, it's wind. But that wind belongs to Allah. If that wants to have an effect on another creation of God, that is intercession. That is being an intermediary. Being an intermediary is not possible illa bi'idhnillah, except through the will of God. It's the will of God. That's why when people look at the weather patterns and predict weather conditions as much as they have predicted them based on patterns that there are, these patterns are not patterns that these molecules came up with. They are patterns that God gave them. And at any point, if He wants to change that pattern, He will. We have instances like the attempt to supposedly rescue what they call the American hostages in the Islamic Republic those many years ago, soon after the success of the Islamic Revolution. They planned it from the Persian Gulf. Everything was planned out, including weather patterns. There was nothing that was going to get in the way, especially nothing of that magnitude. But the sand is under God's control. The wind is under God's control. A sandstorm forms that was unpredictable. The whole operation, without one gunshot from the Revolutionary Guards or anyone, was put an end to. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. All the calculations that they had done to destroy the revolution, all of them, with all the experience, they've looked at patterns of people's behavior, of politicians' behaviors, of put everything there to make this revolution falter, and they have for 42 years failed. Why? Because God is in charge. And this is what we as Muslimin generally fail to understand. And if anyone understands it and accepts it and acts based on it, they will be part of the movement of Islam, which is invincible. That's why Imam Khomeini may go, but his movement continues. Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him and give him a long life until the coming of the Imam. But we don't know, there's no guarantee. If God wants his life to end before the coming of the Imam, he may go. But this movement will continue. Because that is what God has promised. That is what God has told us he has willed. كَتَبَ اللَّهِ لَأَغْلَبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. This is a belief, if you believe in, nothing in the world can create fear in your heart. Imam Khomeini gave the fatwa and announce to the people of the world, Salman Rushdie deserves to be killed, and all Muslimin worldwide have got to work towards it, and they need to remove him. At that point, this is documented, Hashemi Rafsanjani, who seemed to be someone that was close to Imam Khomeini, yet he wasn't. He didn't believe in this concept. He went to Imam Khomeini and said, oh, you know, you need to retract that. Why? Because he said it has consequences for the Islam. He said, what consequences? For Iran. He said, there'll be consequences. Said, what consequences? Oh, they'll do this, they'll do that. He said, what else? And he kept adding, I don't know the details of, I don't remember the details of what he said, but a lot of wrong things would happen to Iran. He kept asking, okay, what else? What else? What else? So is that it? Iran was not meant to stay at the expense of Islam losing. All of Iran be sacrificed for Islam. Islam said, this is the ruling. The world can do whatever it wants. That is Khomeini. That's what... And Khomeini became Khomeini because of this. Because of Tawheed. It's not about Khomeini. It's about Islam. It's about the Quran. It's about Tawheed. That the Quran repeatedly mentions. And we call ourselves Muslim. We say we have submitted to Islam. Yet we are mushrik. If we were Muslim. As the Quran says. No one can stand against you. No one. And that's why Islam has survived so far. I want to remind us of these truths because we need them. This is what we stand for. We should stand for. And if Allah gives us life, we will continue to stand by these and live by these principles. Whoever decides otherwise, they can do whatever they want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given His guidance. We as Muslimin forget this. And so we drift away. We deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We deviate from the path of the Ahlul Bayt. We deviate from the path of the Imam of our time. We have got to make sure that we not only understand Tawheed, we live by it. And the way to live by it is where there's a spit, there's a fork in the path. You either go based on what God says, or you want to save your skin based on your desire, your whim, your want to live longer. Where God didn't say, I want you to save your life. Imam al-Hussein said, all of this be sacrificed for Allah. Didn't he have a life to save? Didn't he have a family to save? We're afraid of losing this. A believer has no fear of what will come their way. Corona or otherwise. The US government, the FBI, the CIA, or otherwise. This is what we live by. This is what I live by. This is what the Quran says. If anybody wants to live by something else, this is what I live by. This is what we find in the Quran. If you want to convince me to change this way, this path, show me from the Quran where it says something other than this. Don't give me any other explanation from anyone else. It doesn't matter. The Quran has said this. The Quran has said, لما رأى المؤمنون الأحزاب قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله. It says in Surah Al-Ahzab, when the believers see the enemies coming their way to kill them, to incarcerate them, to hurt them, to do whatever, they say that's what God and His Messenger promised us that will happen to you. And they say, God and His Messenger were telling the truth. And that seeing the enemies come to incarcerate them, to kill them, increases their iman, not fear. When they see them coming to hurt them, they get stronger in their iman. That's what the Quran says. That's what I'm going to live by, inshallah, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. If anybody else thinks otherwise, everybody's got their own choice. Everyone can do what they think is right. Look at what, if you're looking for what the Quran says, this is what it says. Don't be afraid of anything. Nothing in this world. الَّذِينَ, again in Surah Al-Ahzab, الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Those who deliver the messages, the missions of God, and they fear Him, and they fear none other than Him. Nothing whatsoever. That's what we have to be. That's what we need to. The only way that's possible is through Tawheed. He really is the only one in charge. Everyone else that can do whatever, it's bi-idhnillah, with His permission. Nothing. If it's with His permission, just like Imam al-Hussein said, God, this is Your will. إِلَهِ رِضًا بِقَضَائِكَ تَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِكَ لا معبود سواك. I am pleased with what You want. I submit to Your will. There is no one worshipped but You. If You want, if Your will is for them to get me and destroy me, pulverize me, it's Your will. And that's good. I welcome it. رِضًا بِقَضَائِكَ. I'm pleased with it. I want it. I want what You want. This is the only way a believer can reach that state. Nothing, nothing in this world is going to cause them to be afraid. You can threaten them with whatever. Inshallah, this verse becomes one that we are able to read more and think and ponder upon more and live by more, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us join Him, be with Him, follow Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and most of our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives us all of our sins, forgives our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Ya Allah, relieve us all of this pandemic. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alih rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.